of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Location on a windswept mountaintop in the middle of the Maine coast, this is the Whole Agenda Radio Show with your host, Gordon James Gianni Noto, and I'm here with my producer, Patrick English. How are you, sir?
Oh, fine, thanks, Gordon, and how are you this evening? Cold evening, huh? That's what you said.
Yeah, it's 20 degrees outside with like a 40-mile-an-hour wind, so there's quite the wind chill. Was 42 and sort of balmy by comparison yesterday afternoon, but today just started out with the temperature dropping and the wind increasing. So we went right through the bottom of the 40s, then through the 30s, and now we're into the 20s.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's what clothing is for.
Among other things, yeah, that's a start. Coach.
Oh, I just showed Patrick my cat, Henry Hudson the Explorer, and he's white with big orange splotches, and he's got an orange mustache, and he's a Kittler.
Kittler. Heil Kittler.
You hadn't heard of that before, had you?
I think I've heard the word, but it was like almost like new to me, so I will say yes.
Well, I got to tell you, if you like cats, and a lot of people do, some don't, but you go to Google and you do a search for Kittler and Kittlers, and then when you get there, you choose images, and you'll see unbelievable pictures of cats with mustaches.
He is cute. He's a pretty cat.
And there are some really cute ones, let me tell you. So, okay, well, we're on Revolution Radio, and this is listener-supported, so you know what that means. I'm going to ask you to donate some money. And Patrick recommends that everybody donate at least $5.
It makes it worth it by the time you get through PayPal and they get their pound of flesh.
Right, and so what you do is you go to Freedom's Lips, which you probably went to anyway, and right there on the page is a box where you can make a donation using PayPal, Visa, or MasterCard. And that's what we suggest you do, and you can make it a reoccurring gift, which would be really kind of you. if you appreciate this show and the other 90 shows, I guess. And then if you scroll all the way down, you can find the owner of Revolution Radio, his mailing address in Kentucky, and you could send a check or a money order. And then at the top, there's a banner, and you can click on that and go to the store, and you can buy some stuff. And by that, I mean coffee mugs, T-shirts, hats, bumper stickers, and other things. Some of the artwork on the coffee mugs and I guess the T-shirts is by A. Mad Painter, who is one of the producers and the top management on the on Revolution Radio, and he is very talented. He's got a Facebook page that you can sign up for, and he posts his artwork on there, and he just did some sort of a brain that had this cone coming out of it, and this, like, third eye, and it was really kind of cool. And you said, Patrick, that he designs most of his stuff on the computer, but he does do some painting.
Yeah, but he does do a lot of painting on the computer, as twere. Yeah.
That's a whole art by itself that I never really got good at. But I am a really good artist painting paintings and doing watercolors and doing sketches.
I love watercolors.
Have you ever done any?
Very, very little. No, I've never been a visual. I've always been musical.
Okay, so we're more than halfway through the month. How are we doing with donations so far?
Let me get to the other chat room, and I will talk about that a little bit too. We are at $17.90. Last I looked, out of the let me click and refresh it. Out of the $25.75 we need. Yep. So we're almost we're doing fairly well for this time of month. So that's a good sign. But please keep it coming, folks. We do need your input. We exist on your largesse. And so, yes, we have a new chat room, Gordon.
Oh, what is that all about?
Well, sometime shortly after the turn of the year, it seems that Flash is going to go out. It won't flash anymore. And the regular old chat room was a Flash chat room, IRC, Internet Relay Chat. And because of this, we have switched to a PHPBB chat, and they're well known.
Now, you're saying Adobe Flash was what the mechanism for the first chat room, but now you can't use Adobe Flash anymore?
Well, no, it's still working, but after the turn of the year, it seems it will make a swan song. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, quite honestly. I don't know why. I'm just hearing that. You will not be able to use Flash or get Flash anymore. There's changes going on. And so everything that had to do with Flash will...
When you're using it and it's working, fine, but I never really cared much for Adobe.
And yeah.
Adobe just kept hitting me with update this and update that, and I really got tired of it.
Right. Well, every time you turn around, you need to update Flash again. Though they haven't done that to me lately. It can cause problems with the chat room if your Flash is too far behind, et cetera, et cetera. This new chat room is also has a number of forums associated with it. So you have both the forum and the chat approach going. And that's very handy.
So you could have, like, for instance, a UFO forum.
Yes, exactly. Certain shows, each show has its own forum.
Sorry to say I won't be on the chat, but if I hadn't distorted my vision by taking too many aspirin, I'd probably be on that while I'm talking on the show. But no.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch it while you're doing the show. So, but nonetheless, you could even get Janet to go there, and you could take your eyeglass out and have a gander at it. It's very easy to get to. It's freedomslips.com/Ajax, A-J-A-X, and then put a forward slash. Bring you right to it. You got to register. You got to give your email, and then they will send you a confirmation activation email in return, and then you just
well, that would require her to be up at the same time that I'm up, and that's not going to happen either.
But you could do that during the day. Just go freedomslips.com and then put a forward slash and put Ajax, A-J-A-X.
What does that stand for?
Really sure what the deal is with that word, but that's how it's put together.
Today is November 17th, the 17th. And this is the 173rd consecutive Friday that I've been captain of the ship. So we're cruising right along. And there's other ways that you can make donations, and one of them is to buy our seed pack. And you send $100 with your name and address. In the United States only, is my understanding. And with that, you get 35,000 non-GMO seeds in a 25-year freezer pack, plus a DVD with 900 survival documents, a lot of which tell you what to do with the produce that you're going to be growing, because you get over 50 types of vegetables, and they're non-GMO, so you let some of them go to seed, and then you put them in a paper envelope and keep them in a cool, dry place for the winter. And next spring when you plant them, they breed true, just what you had last year. So,
plain old heirloom seeds, just the way they were made.
Yeah, and so if you just want the documents, you can send $50, and you will get an EMP-proof thumb drive, USB thumb drive, that has all 900 survival documents on it. And if you have a group and you want the community seed pack, that's $200, and that's more than double the regular $100 seed pack, and in the volume of seeds. Not the varieties are the same, but the volume of how many seeds you get are definitely increased. And, that's a lot of seeds, and if you really know what you're doing, you could actually plant half of them this year and half of them next year, and then in the first year you could learn what the hell you're doing with these things, because not everybody knows how to grow every type of plant. And you learn things like there's certain things that the rabbits, the deer, the porcupines, the woodchucks are going to love, and you want to definitely figure out how to defend yourself against that, and you wouldn't want to lose all your seeds to a wildlife disaster. So,
well, at least you can have the satisfaction of knowing that you're feeding the wildlife, poor little things.
Oh, yeah, poor little goddamn things. So, it's hunting season in Maine for the month of November, so every so often we go out the door and we hear a big gunshot in the woods. You know, it's hard to tell where it is. You can tell the direction, but you just can't tell how far away it is.
Yeah. Oh, I have some information. Blasphemous Buddha just put it into the new chat. It says, asynchronous JavaScript in XML. Ajax is asynchronous JavaScript in XML. Ajax is a technique for creating fast and dynamic web pages. So that's what it means. Thank you. Thank you, BB.
Yeah. Learn something new every day, right?
Yep.
I hope to learn more than one thing on most days. And then we have our silver offer, and if you send $60 and your name and address as a donation to the station, which is not tax deductible because it's privately owned, so you're just going to have to suffer along with that, but you send $60 and you get an American Silver Eagle, which is a beautiful coin with an eagle on it, and it's got 1 troy ounce of 0.999 fine silver in it. And that's another way of supporting the station. And then the owner has a site where he makes things with wood. And he etches using high-frequency, high-voltage Tesla coils. He etches into the surface of the wood and makes beautiful patterns. And, so, you know, in a sense, they're almost abstract. And sometimes they look strikingly real. But they're a lot of times they look like branches and roots and trees and things like that. But they can make all kinds of designs and shapes with it. So, and then he also makes Chinese puzzle boxes. And so to get to that, how do you get to that, Patrick?
This will be blacklightningwood.com. And he's also got a forge, and he's playing with Damascus steel, making knives, axes.
You ever watch that show on the History Channel, Forging Iron or whatever it is?
No, but I've seen a bit about it.
That's pretty cool. If you're interested in making knives, it's really an art, but it's also a science. And the show is on the History Channel, and they invite three top knife makers. Well, people apply, of course. because that's how you become famous, is get on that show. And then they have you design a knife right off the bat and make it, and that includes the handle and every detail of it. And then they assign you, and then at the end of that, they let one person go. And then the other two, they give them an assignment, like make a Damascus steel sword or a battle axe or a dagger or, you know, whatever they say. They have, so you really can, by watching the show, you really learn about all the different kinds of knives. And then you learn about all the different kinds of steel and all the different kinds of sources of metal that you can use to make these blades. And then finally, they have a test where they cut through branches and cut into a pig carcass, and they cut into other stuff to see. Like, if it's a weapon of war, then they test it as if it were in battle, and they see which one of the two stands up better and cuts better and feels better in the hand and is more balanced and more solid. And they look for defects like crazy. So if you do have a defect, it's not like they're not going to see it. They are going to see it. And then they award the winner $10,000.
Nice. Did you know that speaking of, because that's typically using iron, this is where we get steel from, right? The Egyptians had a method of annealing bronze to where it was almost the hardness of iron.
Well, I believe that, because I've seen bronze that's amazingly tough.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in. I'm not going to follow it down.
Yeah, I must have had some alloys and stuff. And then when the Crusaders went to fight the Muslims, the Muslim swords cut right through the Christian swords, and they're like, what the hell? What are they doing that's different? And then they discovered that they were plunging the hot sword right out of the forge into the body of a slave, which... gotta love that. Great methodology there, because the nitrogen in the body of the slave would harden the blade to the point where it could, one type of steel could cut through a different kind of steel. So the Crusaders, I don't know if they ever tried that method, but they would take animal hides and put them in a big barrel full of water, and they'd take the sword right off the out of the forge, red hot, and plunge it into the barrel of water with animal hides in it, and that would accomplish the same thing.
Well, that's a lot more merciful, too.
Yeah, merciful. And then you learn about things like Western blades usually are, I forget what you call that. What's the opposite of convex?
Concave.
Concave, yeah. The cutting edge is concave. So the deeper you go in, the more the blade wedges itself in there. Whereas Oriental swords, very interesting, have convex surfaces. So it's a continuous curve on the side of the blade that goes down to the cutting edge. And what that does is as it cuts, it spreads. So when you cut like a tree, with a Western blade, it will get wedged. It will cut, but only as deep as the concave part. But the convex blade of the Japanese swords, for instance, or the Chinese swords, that will continuously spread the whatever you're cutting to either side and make room for the blade to go deeper. So you can take a Western sword and try and cut a 3-inch sapling, and you won't be able to do it. But you can take a Japanese or a Chinese sword and cut right through a 3-inch sapling. And it's a lot more deadly, because if you want to behead somebody, the blade will spread the tissue on either side, and you can just go right through somebody's neck with one swipe, whereas a Christian or a Western blade, you'd have to be hacking at it.
Remember, someone was talking about that, or I was reading that very recently. Was it you?
I might have mentioned it before. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is recent. It's that very thing.
So it's very interesting. There's a lot to know about blade making, and there are some people out there that, you know, they've devoted their life to working with metal, and not necessarily that they were born into it, but they became interested in it and became good at it. And so there's actually, I don't know that you'd call it an institute or a group or a foundation or, with standards, you know, where they have standards for making knives and things like that. And so if, as you progress, you can submit blades that you've made, and at some point they will pronounce you a master blade maker.
Is that the term?
So I think it is master blade maker. So then, you know, I'm sure that the owner of the station, Mike, would eventually, if he gets really good at it, he'd probably want to get certified as a master blade maker. But they put you through a lot of, they don't just accept, oh, here's a nice knife you made, you're a master. No way. You have to really show progress and growth and, you know, expertise in all areas. And and when they judge this show, they have three master blade makers who put the blades that the people make through various tests to see how good they are, how useful they are. So it's a very interesting subject. And, you know, you can make a forge with a metal barrel, and you put a grate in the bottom, and you put a fan off to the side of the bottom, and you blow air in from the bottom up, and you light the coal, and the fan keeps it red hot, and then you heat the steel on top of the red hot coal, and then you take it out with tongs usually, and you beat it on an anvil. Or a lot of people these days get stamping machines, which is like two anvils coming together, or two hammers coming together. There's different kinds. And that way, because like when you're making Damascus steel, you're hammering it out really thin and then folding it over, then hammering it out really thin and folding it over again. When you look at the blade, you can see all the various layers, like rings on a tree where you cut a tree down, and you're looking at the rings. So, and each one signifies a different layer, and that makes the steel extremely strong
and really easy to sharpen. If you want the sharpest knife on earth, you'd want a Damascus steel blade, and you'd want to, you know, keep it really sharp. And you can, because it's, you know, carbon steel. So,
enough with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Janet and I have a post office box where you can write to us, and nobody's written to us in weeks. It seems like more than a month since we got the last piece of mail. But it's P.O. Box 51, Ellsworth, Maine, 04605. And we really would appreciate it if you'd comment on things you'd like me to mention, or you wished I never mentioned again, or subjects you'd be interested in expanding upon, or you want to send me postcards, or you'd like to send Janet and me donations. That would be really cool. And so the address again is P.O. Box 51, just like Area 51, out in Nevada, Ellsworth, Ellsworth, Maine, M-E, 04605. And we also have a telephone number. If you call and leave a message, I will call you back. I have a little notebook, and I write down your number and your name and what your subject was. And just, I've been going through hell with trying to figure out how to survive at this time, and expenses. And Janet has Lyme disease, and we still haven't gotten the medication from Canada. Hasn't arrived yet. Monday should be the 20th day, and they said 10 to 20 days. So we can't really complain until Monday, I guess. We did have our postmistress went somewhere, and she had somebody substitute, and Janet got a letter, and it's had the correct name and address, and somebody wrote on it, addressee unknown, return to sender. And that was the substitute postmistress. So we were not happy about that, because we want to get this antibiotics for Janet's Lyme disease from a pharmacy in Canada, and we don't want somebody in the post office. For whatever reason, maybe they made a mistake, maybe they were in a hurry, maybe they didn't have time, maybe they don't like us, you know, all those thoughts go through your head, sending this letter back that she was waiting for. So we're hopeful that the medication didn't arrive on the same day and meet the same person and get returned to sender. So we're not really going to explore it further until Monday goes by, because then it will be 20 days. So, but anyway, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-207, that's the area code for the whole state, 812, that's an exchange in Ellsworth, Maine, and the number is 3730. So it's 207-812-3730. So please do call, and I'd love to be able to talk to, I know there's lots of really interesting people listening to the show, and it would be a lot of fun to get to know you. And maybe there's some of you who would be so interesting that you'd like to come on the show. So, and some of the calls I've gotten have been extremely interesting, no doubt about it. Now, I'm going to be on another show on Sunday, and it's called Open Your Mind, and it's out of Dublin, Ireland. And I've been on the show probably 5 or 6 times already over the years, and I'm going to be on it this Sunday, 1:45 Eastern time. So that's like 10:45 Pacific time. So you're somewhere in the United States then. And it's on the internet, and they have their own streaming system. And it's called OYM, Open Your Mind, with Alan and Steve, I think those two guys are. And I'm going to be talking about Planet X, because they haven't heard anything about that for a while, so I'm going to be summing up all that I currently know about it for that show. And it should be on for about 2 hours, from like 1:30 Sunday afternoon till 3:30, something like that. They do things differently in Ireland. And so anyway, I hope that if you get a chance that you can put that on your calendar and listen on Sunday to OYM, Open Your Mind. And like I say, they have their own website, and you go there and you click on it and you start listening to the show. And they do a program every Sunday. I don't know what other times that they're on, but I know they do a show every Sunday. And of course, England and the UK is 5 hours ahead. So for them, it's like 6:45. So they told me to stand by at 1:30, and I probably will go on the air at 1:45.
So now, who is this? Whose show is it?
Open Your Mind.
Who's the host?
Alan and Steve. There's two guys.
Okay, because there's this nice lady near Dublin who also does radio. That's why I was asking.
Well, I'm sure there's people all over the world that are doing radio.
She's pretty cool, though. You know, she's kind of the radio that we kind of interested in. So,
well, maybe she's going to listen. I don't know.
I just can't remember her name.
Well, that's not very helpful.
Well, if I do, I'll tell you. She's like a countess or something.
Ah, Contessa. As they say in Italy, Contessa.
Uh-huh.
My idiot, drug-addled, alcoholic niece, who's 3 months younger than I am, went to Italy. She married Oleg Cassini's brother, Igor, became a Contessa. She renamed herself from Gianni Louise Muller to Contessa Nadia Cassini.
Oh, my.
And then she learned to speak Italian, and then she made the worst Italian movies, sort of like Cave Woman 10,000 BC, and she's prancing around with feathers, and just really bad, just so bad. And she's an idiot anyway, and she's always on drugs or drunk or something. And then she ran off with a Greek actor, and her husband, Gigi, or Igor Cassini, sold nude pictures of her on the beach somewhere in Italy, I guess, what was that magazine? It was a skin magazine, you know, like Playboy, but it was a little more explicit. Not as explicit as something like Hustler or something like that. But anyway, she's naked and she's on these rocks on the beach. And it was a whole series of photos. And they put her on the cover and the centerfold. So, of course, my father is her grandfather. So
he was walk. I got the magazine. He was walking around the house, and he's going, "Is it wrong to look at your granddaughter naked?" And I go, "Well,
she's on the cover of the magazine. She's in the centerfold. I don't know that you can really say you shouldn't." So, what was that magazine?
I just remember Hustler and Playboy.
But it had the title of the article was "Royalty on the Rocks." Contessa Nadia Cassini bears everything.
Oh, that's awful. Royalty on the rocks. Mm-hmm. Something crashed.
Well, she wasn't royalty. She married Igor, and they were Russian princes, and they had mansions in Rome and Milan and Florence. And they had some very expensive places in New York City. And I went to visit her. It was, one of them was on Gramercy Park, and it was five-story townhouse. And it was all oak paneled, and it was all medieval. And every landing that you went up, when you went up a floor, you could go off onto that floor. You could continue on the staircase. There were knights in full armor standing in the corners and medieval banners. And
yeah, one of those.
Quite the place, you know.
We have places like that.
The designer for Jackie Kennedy and people like that, and Igor, her husband, was the business end of the deal.
Well, how long ago was this?
Oh, Christ, 1970.
Oh, a long time.
Oh, she's my age. She's 60.
She's still pulling air?
Is she still what?
Pulling air.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Is she still alive?
Oh, yeah. She's in, I don't know where she is right now. I think she's living in near Palermo, Sicily or something. She's waiting for a lawsuit, and she's just a con artist. And her mother, my sister, my half-sister, we have the same father but different mothers. She's always sending her money, and she's always spending, and Johnny Lou or the Contessa is always spending it all, usually on drugs and alcohol. And she doesn't make any sense. And she called me once from Italy, and she goes, "I've just bought a one-way ticket to Maine." I said, "Don't even bother." I said, "Go cash it in." She goes, Why, Gordon? And I said, "Because you're the single most selfish person I've ever known in my life." You know, she was making like $50,000 a week from these movies, and she spent it all on cocaine and limousines and apartments and expensive killer dogs, and it was just weird,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And she could have put enough money aside to still be wealthy beyond, you know, anybody's imagination. But she frittered it all away as fast as it came in. And she married Yorgo, who's this Greek actor. He was a lawyer. I don't know how he became a lawyer. And he was the worst con man I ever... He was bragging to me that he would go into locker rooms at health clubs in New York City and go through people's wallets and steal their credit cards. So he was a lovely guy. And then they had a daughter, Cassandra, and then they got divorced. And he moved to L.A. so he could date 14-year-olds. And... She got a boyfriend named Pepe, and she lived with him for about 15 or 20 years, but she's impossible. I mean, I said, "Listen, if you show up, if I think you're showing up, I'm getting a restraining order. And if you do show up, I'm calling the police." "Oh no, why would you do that?" I said, "Because you're an alcoholic, a druggie, and you're really selfish. And Janet and I live in a one bedroom house. What are we going to do with you? I don't even want to see you." "Oh, that's so terrible what you're saying." I said, "Well, it's true, and I'm just being blunt for your own benefit. You know, your life isn't over. Why don't you try and do something for other people?"
"Ay vey."
"Oy vey, huh?"
"Oy de vault."
Yeah, so she's a mess, but then her two brothers... Her younger brothers have a marble and stone business in New York City, and they're world famous.
Oh yeah, you've told me about them. So,
yeah.
So
they won't talk to their sister either, and she calls them, and they just won't hang up. And she writes them a letter, always complaining that they haven't sent any money recently. They just rip it up, put it in the circular file. Well, it's pretty sad situation, but you know.
And then her mother, my sister, would bring her to New York and put her in some rehab and a nunnery on the Hudson River. They got a lot of those, I guess. And she'd escape. And then we wouldn't know where she was for a week or two. And then the New York City police would call and say to my sister, do you have a daughter named Nadia? She's also called Gianni. And her name should have been Gianna, because Gianni is a male name.
It is.
But that never really bothered her much. And she started off young doing some pretty cool artwork, but she never developed that. And she could sing, but she's really a bad singer. And my sister and her husband were professional dancers. So she learned how to dance every kind of thing. So then, after she made all these bad movies, she made, she had a weekly variety show. But she'd show up drunk, and she couldn't do the choreography and do the routines because she was out of it. And they canceled the show. And then she went around for a long time. These dirty old men with a lot of money would remember her prancing around practically naked with feathers on her in these bad Italian movies. And they'd take her home to have sex. And maybe one guy bought her a Land Rover, which I thought was pretty generous. But they all find out within 10 minutes that she's a total idiot. And I guess she loves sex, so they get what they wanted. And but so her whole life is a mess, and it's really sad. You know, it's really, really sad. But
oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last time I saw her, the first thing out of her mouth was, do you know anybody where we could go and I could buy drugs, and can you loan me the money for it? And I go, no. And then she goes, well, would you take me to the liquor store and buy me some vodka? And I said, no. She's like, you're impossible. Well, of course I'm impossible, because I know what's going to happen when you start getting high and drunk. You're even less useful than you are now, and you're basically not useful at all for anything. Good or bad. So anyway, moving right along, tonight was supposed to be the launch of the Zuma rocket. Have you heard about that?
No, this is new to me. Please continue.
The Zuma satellite. It's a SpaceX launch from Kennedy. It was supposed to be last night at 8 o'clock, and then I think it was moved to tonight at 8 o'clock. But I'm not exactly sure why. I think it was probably problems with the liquid oxygen. Not really sure. But the question was, in all the newspapers, there was an article that no agency is claiming that it's their satellite. So whose satellite are they launching? You know?
Huh. Who's got it on? Richard Branson, is it?
What's it for? And why isn't the CIA saying it's their satellite, or the Air Force, or the, God knows, the Navy, or the Army? How come it's not National Reconnaissance Office, or the NSA, or, you know, nobody knew. So Nancy Leader took that as a question for Zeta Talk and asked the Zetas. And they gave an answer as to what it is and what it's for, which is pretty interesting. So
it's not for North Korea, is it?
No. It's a spy satellite, not looking at anything on Earth, but looking away from Earth towards Planet X. And it's being put up there by the Pentagon, because the Pentagon, it turns out, doesn't trust the CIA or the NSA or the National Reconnaissance Office or the Air Force or the Navy or anybody else that puts satellite up. Don't trust them at all, because they know they're going to lie to them. And they, as I said, 2 years ago, October 2015, the Joint Chiefs of Staff had a coup and took over the United States. So President Trump does whatever General Dunford tells him to do, and luckily General Dunford's a pretty good guy, and Trump's working very well with him, so the average person has no idea that we're under martial law. But they cannot rely on the deep secret state telling them what's really going on, because the selfish people wish to have be the only ones who know when pole shift is. And by doing that, they would be able to keep people with their nose to the grindstone, showing up for work, making their credit card payments, their school loan payments, their mortgage payments, right up to the end. And then they plan to give everybody vaccinations with live viruses and kill off as many useless eaters as they can. So you really don't want the deep state and all the selfish cabal to know when pole shift is. But the Pentagon, if they ask them, they don't ever get a straight answer. And, you know, that's NASA's trademark, is to never tell anybody what's really going on. So the Pentagon had, what's the firm that's with Grumman? It's like Lockheed Grumman or Martin Marietta Grumman. There's two.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it's Grumman plus whatever. They made the satellite, and they're not saying what agency it's for, and they were supposed to be launching it at 8 o'clock tonight. Now, one reason why they might not have launched it last night was because the Council of Worlds might have told them, you put something on there which we don't allow, and if you launch that, we're going to blow it up. So if that's true, they're going to have to take the satellite off the rocket, send it back to have it changed. And what they don't want is stuff that that spies on Earth. And everybody that's tried to launch a satellite that uses infrared to see the migration movements of people at pole shift, those have all blown up. And anything that intends to help people go to the Mars or the Moon, that gets blown up. So they're very strict, and any other kind of satellite that does anything related to selfishness, the Council of Worlds has blown up. So it's possible that they might have said to SpaceX, look, we're not going to allow this to launch. And then they would have to take the satellite off. But they canceled the flight from last night at 8 o'clock, the launch, to tonight at 8 o'clock, and I haven't followed it to see whether the Zuma satellite, Z-U-M-A, was actually launched tonight. But it's interesting, it's fueled with kerosene and liquid oxygen. Well, right there, liquid oxygen is very problematic. My father was on oxygen. He said, let's go to the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia Beach and stay there for 2 weeks. So, of course, I wanted to do that. But he was in a wheelchair and on oxygen, so you can just imagine what it's like traveling with your father that way. We had to have a portable oxygen to the airport. They won't let you bring your own on. And you have to prearrange to have these canisters on the flight. And they're really strange canisters because they form oxygen in a catalytic process that heats the canister to about 800 degrees. So you've got these little, they look like propane bottles on the floor between your feet, and they're very well insulated, but you, even with the insulation, you can feel how hot they are. And definitely they would set fire to the whole plane if they weren't completely insulated. And then they only last about 20 minutes, and so they have to keep triggering another one and changing it over and triggering another one and changing it over. Then when you get off the plane, you've got no oxygen for like 5 minutes, maybe, however long it takes a guy that needs a wheelchair to get out of his seat, be helped to the front of the plane and get off. And right there, we had an oxygen agency meeting us with a portable oxygen thing. We used that to get to the hotel. And when we got to the hotel, they delivered a huge container of liquid oxygen. And it was 3 feet in diameter, maybe 2.5 feet in diameter, and about 3 or 4 feet tall. So it was really heavy, really big. And they put it in the hotel room, which was on Virginia Beach facing the ocean. We were on like the fourth floor and we had a balcony. And so during the day we would refill a portable oxygen and then go to the ARE Center, the Association for Research and Enlightenment that was founded by Edgar Cayce. And my father would get healings and we'd get lessons and we'd meet people and have discussions, and it was really great. So anyway, the second day, of course, it's like, you know, 99% humidity. So the worst thing about oxygen, liquid oxygen, is that it's like 200 below zero. So all the valves have some part of them that come out into the air. And if there's humidity in the air, it forms ice crystals on the valve. And if it's on one side, it will freeze it shut and you can't get any oxygen out. And if it's on the other side of the valve, it will freeze it open and vent all this liquid oxygen into the room. So I'm trying to refill the portable container, and all of a sudden the thing is frozen. It won't fill the container, and it starts venting liquid oxygen into the air. Well, there's enough liquid oxygen in this tank to convert the whole floor of the hotel to pure oxygen.
God.
So I'm like, I opened up the sliding door, and I'm sort of rolling this barrel kind of thing out onto the balcony, and I point the nozzle out towards the ocean, and it proceeded to vent the whole thing. It took about half an hour, but it was shooting out a plume of white smoke, which was the condensed humidity being frozen by the cold oxygen air. And the whole tank vented, but what could you do? And that's normal in a humid environment. That could happen. So when you're fueling up a rocket with liquid oxygen in Florida, that can be a problem.
Yeah, that's really wild. Oh, I have a page open on this Zuma satellite, and all I'm seeing is that it's scheduled for launch tonight. So if it happened, it should have happened already. It's Northrop Grumman.
Northrop Grumman, right, yep. Right.
And then Korea, Kennedy Space Center with a Korean communications satellite. I'm seeing a bunch of stuff. I haven't opened any links. I'm just reading under there.
Right.
I'm on start page.
Well, what the purpose of the Zuma satellite is to spy on Planet X and to calculate when pole shift might happen for the Pentagon. And they're not going to share that information with anybody. That's why nobody else knows what that satellite's for, and nobody's ever going to be told what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's doing. And that's so that the Pentagon has a good idea. Now, the thing is Trump just went over on the Asian trip, and he did really well. He made friends with all these countries, and he before he left, he said the trip was too long. And then when he was there, he extended it like 3 days. So he was getting along great. Everybody loved him. And he met with the Chinese president, Xi, and he met with Putin, although not formally. But he did formally meet with the Chinese president. But anyway, evidently, you know, you could expect if all three presidents are in one place, they might have a press conference where they announce Planet X and the coming pole shift. But no. So that's a disappointment. Not only to Nancy Leader and to me and to the listeners, but also it's a disappointment to the Council of Worlds, who wants everybody on Earth to be aware that this is about to happen so people can make the spiritual choices of what they're going to do about it, which ideally would be to move to a safe location. So the Council of Worlds may reach a point where they would say nobody's launching any satellite for any purpose unless you announce Planet X. But we don't know. The Zetas don't know. So it depends on what the Council of Worlds wants. But the Council of Worlds is getting fed up because this was supposed to be announced in like 2013, 2014, 2015. It didn't seem like much hope in 2016. Then the hope was that Trump would come in and announce it. And then that didn't happen either. But clearly, with the announcement, you're going to have to explain how could Planet X be 30 million miles from Earth, stopped in its orbit, just hovering there, and nobody would know that, and nobody would say anything. And they have to go back to Ronald Reagan when it was first discovered with the IRIS, the infrared astronomical satellite, IRIS, in 1983. They put it on the front page of all the newspapers, Planet X discovered. And that was, as it approached the solar system from the direction of Orion, it was picked up with this infrared pictures. And at that point, President Reagan signed an executive order making it top secret, and nobody had permission to discuss it at all. And that's still in effect, I guess. I don't know if Trump overturned it secretly or not.
Kind of wait and see situation.
Yeah, so but that would be an explanation. Well, under the executive order signed by Reagan,
It was illegal to discuss it, and that's why it never got discussed. But meanwhile, you know, all these different, the dark sky survey and the WISE survey and all these other surveys of space are looking for Planet X. The thing is they turn off their instruments and their survey when the sun rises, and they turn it back on when the sun sets. But the thing is, Planet X is next to the sun. It's not next to the sun, but as seen from the Earth, it's next to the sun. It's in the 4 o'clock position from the northern hemisphere and the 10 o'clock position from the southern hemisphere. So the one time of day that they're not looking for it, where it's really obvious, is right next to the rim of the sun. So, of course, they're not going to find it.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, but meanwhile, people around the world are taking pictures of it every day and posting it on poleshift.ning.com. There's a section called Post Your Planet X Pictures Here. And it's the website is poleshift.ning.com. So you can go there and look at pictures of Planet X next to the sun taken by people around the world with regular cameras, cell phones, digital cameras. Sometimes they put filters, red filters particularly, in front of the lens, or welding filters. Sometimes it's just normal photography. So I finally looked at the picture taken of the dark twin of Earth. Now, the dark twin of Earth is really interesting because normally this planet, which is exactly the size of Earth, which is why they call it the dark twin, is on the other side of the sun. But when the sun stopped in its orbit, going counterclockwise, when Planet X came in going clockwise, and it's Planet X stopped Venus and the Earth in their orbits, and then the dark twin kept going around counterclockwise until it came up behind the Earth, and then it was stopped by the gravitational push of Planet X. So the thing is that in no ancient scriptures, in no civilization, in no astronomical text has the dark twin of Earth ever been mentioned, ever. So you would think if extraterrestrials came here from Planet X and they created mankind and they've been here for 400,000 years until they were kicked off about 2,000 years ago, that they would have known, and they would have, because the astronomy documents in the ancient Sumerian tablets is incredible, and some of the bas-relief carvings show that Earth is the seventh planet. Well, what does that mean? Because we always thought we were the third planet from the sun. Well, we are. But when you're coming from outer space, you have to go by seven planets to get to Earth. So, six planets. So, Earth, they called Earth the seventh planet. And from their point of view, coming from outside the solar system, it was the seventh planet. But they never mentioned the dark twin of Earth either. The only hint of it anywhere in any culture or scripture or civilization is the fact that the Hopi say when the blue kachina is seen in the sky at the same time as the red kachina, that's when the ages will change. Well, the blue kachina is the dark twin of Earth because it has no atmosphere, no water, no life, and it's a black burned-out cinder that reflects variously blue or gold. Sometimes it does reflect gold. But anyway, the Anunnaki have robots on there because there's no atmosphere. They have robots on the dark twin of Earth mining gold. And when Planet X is in the solar system, they constantly transship the gold from the dark twin of Earth to Planet X. And the dark twin of Earth was first photographed behind the Earth off of the South Pole by the Weimar, which is the German Antarctic mission. They have a webcam there. And you could see they would take a picture every 10 minutes, and then you could click on it, would play them for a whole day. And you could see the sun rise and set. You could see the moon rise and set. And then, whoa, what's this third thing? Because we're in the same day. We're not into the next day yet. And that was the dark twin of Earth. And as seen from the Earth, it's the same size as the full moon. So then it was photographed, like from North Carolina, there was a picture taken in the early evening, and it was this bluish kind of faint moon in the sky. And there have been other pictures taken over time. But recently, a webcam in Alaska started photographing it off the North Pole at about between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. And
if you go to poleshift.ning.com, you can look at this picture of the dark twin of Earth, and it's close enough that you can see the craters on it. So, we'll be back.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
Hotel quarters, all hands at your battle station.
Nervous counter told. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday Night Firing Lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back for the second hour of the Whole Agenda Radio Show on Friday, November 17th. And this coming week is Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving since Trump has become president. And there's such divisiveness in the United States between the Republicans and the Democrats that they did a lot of studies and surveys and polls about how this was going to work out. And what they discovered is Democrats are not going to go to the family and friends who vote Republican. The Democrats are just not going to go. And the Republicans will go to homes where most of the people are Democrat and voted for Hillary or Bernie or whatever they were trying to do. But they leave early, 30 minutes early on the average. That's their plan. So I thought that was pretty amusing. Janet and I aren't going to go anywhere, and we're probably I'm going to try and cook a turkey at home or part of a turkey, the breast of the turkey with stuffing and have a dinner like that. Janet really is tired of turkey. If she never had it again, it would be, okay with her. I love roast turkey. I love to cook it until the skin is crispy with butter and put ginger ale in there and make a outrageous stuffing and just cover the whole thing with garlic and have this garlicky turkey and make a nice gravy, not with flour, but just juices. And so I'm personally looking forward to that, but I don't know how we're going to pull it off or how much turkey we're going to put in the oven. But we used to do a whole turkey, and my neighbors love dark meat. So as soon as it came out of the oven, I would cut off all the dark meat, bag it up in Ziploc bags, stuffing, all the fixings, put it outside and it would freeze instantly, and then bring it over to them and they could serve it, warm it up and serve it whenever they wanted. They love that. So that would cause me to cook a whole turkey. But now we don't have anybody like that except my producer, who lives too far away to bring him the dark meat of the turkey.
Well, thanks for the thought.
You know, maybe we could send it to you parcel post library rate.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you smoke it first.
Yeah, I don't have a smokehouse. I'd like to build one, though. So I was speaking about Zuma and the dark twin of Earth, and I want to say that this satellite is going to be in Earth orbit, but as it goes around the Earth, it's going to be looking very closely at Nibiru, Planet X, and seeing if it's starting to move and come closer or what's happening. And that's going to be for the Pentagon only. They're never going to say that that's what it's for or that's what they're going to use it for, but that is what it's for, courtesy of the Zetas, courtesy of Nancy Leader and her website, ZetaTalk.com. So she took another question about zombies, and although you wouldn't think that would have much to do with pole shift, there's so much interest in zombies and the zombie apocalypse and Planet Z and all this stuff. And there's so many TV shows showing people living with hordes of zombies that want to devour them. And so she figured that she would ask the Zetas about zombies and the coming apocalypse and what's going to happen with that. So her answers, once again, are very interesting. She said that there are drugs that will lower a person's body temperature and slow their heart rate and their breathing to the point where they appear to be dead, but they're not. And there are different societies, often in Africa or the Caribbean, where they administer drugs to people. Everybody thinks the person died. They bury them, and then when they wake up, their brain is gone, but they have enough left to be able to follow orders. And so, in a sense, those are, if there are any zombies anywhere, those are the few occasions when there are zombies. But the real danger, if you're to think about zombies, is that people will want to become cannibals and eat each other because there won't be any food. They'll be starving. And so if you're trapped on a high-rise building and the flood comes in and all of a sudden New York City's under 200 feet of water and you're on the 30th floor, your neighbors are going to look at you as if you could be dinner. So, and if you try and escape as you're going through neighborhoods, if people are hungry enough, they may try and capture you and eat you. So in a sense, that's what you have to watch out for, is cannibalism is actually a bigger problem than zombies, because there aren't going to be a lot of these shamans or medicine men or voodoo doctors administering these drugs to kill people and then dig them up when the crowd has left the funeral, dig them up and have them be a zombie. So not to worry about zombies, but you should definitely worry about being eaten by cannibals. And recently, this new drug that's made from chemicals in China, and it's only illegal in like 18 states because the law hasn't caught up with it, but it's related to bath salts, which most people are aware of. Like when somebody would take bath salts, they'd look under their bed and they'd be convinced there was a whole army of miniature soldiers under there, fully armed, that were going to attack and kill them. So they'd get their gun out and start shooting at the floor. And people just, you know, lost control and couldn't do anything. And it was a cheap drug that you could order from China, but gradually it became illegal in every state. And most people have heard of bath salts. And it makes people totally paranoid and dangerous. And then when the police would realize they had a bath salt case, they would call two other cop cars so that there would be enough police there to control the person. And they used to bring them to the hospitals and they'd just go nuts and, you know, do $30,000 worth of damage to the emergency room. So now they know to lock them up, put them in a cell where at least they can't do any more damage. But there's this drug that you heard of about 2 years ago. It's called Flaco, and that's not illegal in every state yet because it's a new drug. And that actually turns people into cannibals. If you recall, about 2 years ago, there was an incident where this homeless guy was sitting on the street, and this other guy came up to him and started eating his face, biting off his face and chewing it and swallowing it. And the police were called, and the homeless guy actually did die from having no face. And the guy wouldn't stop eating the guy's face. So the police shot him and killed him. And that was about 2 years ago. And people at the time, you said you heard that it was bath salts, right, Patrick?
That's what the news was saying. That's the term they used.
Right. Well, it's this new drug called Flaco, and I guess in this last week, it's really coming around the United States, and people are taking it like crazy, and it makes them like zombies. They'll take it while they're sitting at a bench, and they'll just sit there like a statue, or they'll fall over face down on the table and stay there, and they can't really be straightened up and do anything. And if they do anything, they tend to want to hurt other people. And do such things as bite into somebody and swallow the flesh. So it's a terrible drug. It's called Flaco. And in this last week, over 36 people died of overdoses of it. So it's a really a lethal drug. You don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's another chemical combination courtesy of Chinese factories.
Well, over three dozen, a huge jump from the week before that? Or?
Oh, yeah. There were, as far as I know, there were no Flacco deaths. Flacco, I think it's spelled F-L-A-C-C-O, but I'm not sure. But there were no Flacco deaths for quite a while. It's just it's a new drug, and it's just, but finally somebody from China shipped enough to the United States that now it can be distributed.
I'll look it up, see what I get.
So you want to watch out for that. But in a sense, you know, besides the starvation and the cannibalism, there may be people taking drugs that make them absolutely go nuts and start eating other people anyway. So it might not just be if you're on the 30th floor of a high rise surrounded by salt water. It might just be that anybody that takes a drug, even out in a nice bucolic small country town, could actually go absolutely, you know, crazy.
Yeah. I just got another message just saying they're talking about the guy that the police shot. He said that the police shot him to save face.
Well, the whole thing sounds rather unpleasant, wouldn't you say?
Oh, my goodness. The whole thing is bizarre. Now, let me see what I get.
I mean, North Korea is known to be a major source worldwide of methamphetamine. But they could easily get Flacco from China and ship it out.
Either I'm spelling it wrong, maybe it doesn't have two C's. Let's see now.
It has two K's. I really don't know.
Oh, well. No, not yet. Let's try two K's.
I like to do a Google verbal search on my cell phone because I just pronounce it the way it sounds, and then Google will figure out what's the next closest thing to that.
Let me put drug behind it. CCO and then drug.
Yeah. So.
Okay, here it is. It's Flacca. F-L-A-K-K-A.
Lovely.
Now, I'm getting synthetic drug known as bath salts. So it's conflated with it. It is it? I really don't know.
It's a variation of bath salts.
Yeah, so there you go.
They're always changing the formula. Once they come out with a law that specifies what the chemical makeup of a drug is, they change the chemical makeup, so therefore, theoretically, it's not illegal.
Yeah.
So it's F-L-A-K-K-A?
Yeah, and Mr. Rowe put something. He put the spelling in, too, but I didn't see him because I was on another page. But then he put in a link, Fox News, Flacca drug. Makes people bark and strip, wrecks havoc in Midwest and South.
Yeah, it's spreading like crazy.
Yeah, boy. Well, where would they get it from? Their crack dealers or?
No, they order it from China and then a dealer gets it and breaks it up into little doses and sells it.
Oh boy, that's really something to keep your eyes open for. You never know.
Yeah, because. For all you know, somebody that's acting really weird took it and is very dangerous. They may just appear to be barking like a dog and taking their clothes off, but they may be dangerous far beyond that level.
Now, let me open that link and just have a gander.
Now, I was going to go to Al Franken, and you're aware of how he forcibly kissed a Playboy model on a USO tour, and then on the return flight, he grabbed her breast, but she was wearing a flak jacket, but he had his brother take a picture of him grabbing her breast. Are you aware of that, Senator?
No, I saw the name pass by, but I didn't know what the deal was.
So that's on all the news. Well, now, Al Franken, of course, is a Democrat, and he used to be on Saturday Night Live. And
Making the energy that keeps doers doing. Keeps on your toes.
Sorry.
Considering the neighbors live just over the fence. So Chevron built the Rock. Refinery Optimization Center. ITIL monitoring 24/7.
We run around the I'm trying to kill this. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Trying to see where it is. Oh, there.
I'm sure this happens to everybody. You can't hardly go on the internet anymore without something popping up and start playing.
Yeah, and I closed the window. I closed the tab. I didn't mean to.
But the senator, he's been really harsh about all the Republicans or the few Republicans who have molested women. He's come out really strongly saying that women should be believed. And this should be taken very seriously, and it shouldn't be let go. And so now that he did that, he had his brother take a picture of him grabbing the breasts of this Playboy model while she was sound asleep. Now that that happened, people have been doing research on Al Franken. And at one point when he was on Saturday Night Live, he said that he was really glad when gay men are killed because he hates gays, very homophobic.
All that.
That's a kind thought, isn't it?
Really?
And then there's other people coming out now saying that he stalked them and he's really dangerous. So now all the Republicans in Congress and even the president are suggesting that he should resign as U.S. Senator immediately. Now, what he did was he said he called upon the Senate Ethics Committee to investigate him. So he asked for an investigation of him. He wrote an apology. He said he didn't remember forcibly sticking his tongue down the throat of the Playboy model, but he's sorry if she remembered it that way. And he's sorry that he had his brother take a picture of him grabbing her breasts while she slept on the flight back from Afghanistan. But he thought that would be fun, but obviously it isn't. So, meanwhile, more of this stuff about past sexual transgressions is coming out. Sylvester Stallone, it turns out, he and his bodyguard had sex with a 16-year-old girl in Las Vegas years ago. You've got, John Travolta molested his masseuse on one late night in Palm Springs. And we know John Travolta is gay and he can't help himself. But what was he doing in Palm Springs, which is the only city council in the United States where all the members are transgender?
Really? I didn't know that.
You're gay.
I'll be right back.
You'll be right back? Goodbye.
I gotta go to the kitchen for a second, get some water.
Okay. So, anyway, all this stuff is coming out, and you know we have Harvey Weinstein's being investigated for rapes, and they're all within the statute of limitations. So if he is convicted, he will go to prison. Then the Senator Menendez trial, which most people haven't heard about at all because the major networks aren't covering it at all because he's a Democratic senator, but he had an eye doctor in Florida who he tried to help. And because of the help, he made millions and millions of dollars on Medicare. And in return, the eye doctor would pay for Senator Menendez to take trips to places where there are underage prostitutes, such as Brazil, and put him up in a hotel and arrange to pay for all these underage prostitutes to have sex with Senator Menendez. So Senator Menendez denies all that. They just had a 3-month trial of Menendez for corruption, bribery, all this stuff. And the jury was a hung jury. So a mistrial was declared, and they're going to have to retry that. Senator Lindsey Graham had gone to the trial to lend support for Senator Menendez, but Republicans particularly are saying, what the hell are you trying to support a guy who traveled to other countries in Latin and South America to have sex with underage girls. So Menendez is not really a nice person. He had a press conference after the mistrial, and he said, I know the names of those people who didn't support me, and I will not forget who you are. So it's like, whoa, is he threatening these people?
But there is going to be another trial, and you can always hope that he will go to prison. But that remains to be seen. So you have all this information coming out from the past about what people did. And so now you have Judge Roy Moore has got seven women accusing him of molesting them at a young age. He tried to have sex with a 14-year-old. He may or may not have had sex with a 16, 17, and 18-year-old. He told Sean Hannity, quote, "Generally, I always ask their mothers if I could date their daughters." But he was in his 30s. And by the time he was 36, he was a district attorney in Alabama, and he was married. And there's a story that he was kicked out of the local mall because he would hang out outside Orange Julius on the tables there and try and get 14, 15, 16-year-old girls to date him. And so that's a mess. Now, that can't be fixed because absentee ballot started for this. This is the senator who's going to replace Jeff Sessions when he went to become attorney general. So the governor appointed Luther Strange, but in the primary race, Luther Strange lost to Judge Roy Moore. And he's a judge because he was on the Alabama Supreme Court twice. Because he got kicked off it, and then he ran again and got reelected to it. So he clearly seems to be somebody who loves to have sex with younger girls. And the Republicans want him to resign immediately, and the Democrats, of course, want that too. But he's not going to. He says this is all, made up stuff from the Washington Post, from the swamp in Washington, trying to get rid of him. And so therefore, he's not going to drop out of the race. Well, the absentee ballot started October 18th. So people have already voted in Alabama absentee ballots and overseas soldiers that are stationed overseas but are from Alabama. Everybody's been voting absentee since October 18th. The election is December 12th. And the Democrat was far behind because Alabama is a Republican state. And now he seems to be, polls show the Democrat 8 points ahead. But people don't want Judge Roy Moore to be elected to the Senate. And they're threatening if he's elected to the Senate, they won't seat him. And if they do seat him, they'll kick him out. They'll do an ethics commission study and kick them out. So it's not really possible, unless he drops out, that the governor would appoint somebody else to be in the race, or whether they would cancel the election and have it at another date. So it's really a mess, dependent on Roy Moore saying that he's not dropping out and he didn't do anything wrong. And all this stuff is made up, all these accusations from 40 years ago, and he's not going to pay attention to it, nor should the voters of Alabama. Well, the National Republican Party dropped him. They are not supporting him anymore, and the Alabama Republican Party is still supporting him. And a lot of Alabamans think, well, this is just something from the Washington Post to destroy a very conservative Republican, and therefore they're not going to pay attention to it. So the results of who's going to be elected from Alabama. Now, we only have 52 U.S. Republican senators, and if we lose one of them, which would conceivably be his seat, then we only have 51, and then you get people like the Maine senator, Susan Collins, that doesn't seem to want to agree on anything that Trump wants to do. So it's really a problem. So it seems like everywhere you look, there's all these really complex situations. Nothing's simple anymore. And but it's interesting that Congress has had a slush fund to pay for congressmen and senators who molest staffers. So their biggest party of the year is when the new batch of interns show up. It's like a new crop of who can we molest. And in the last 20 years, there's been this slush fund, that is the only way to put it, that pays for the molestations and the sexual assaults. So
it's in the last 20 years, Congress has paid out $15 million to staffers who were sexually assaulted. And all of that's confidential. And the rules are really insane because the woman has to first report it, then there has to be a mediation with the senator or the congressman who molested them for a month. And then after a month, it can go to court. If it does go to court, it goes with the name Jane Doe, you know, so you don't know who it is and you don't know who the senator or the congressman was. And then if any money is awarded, Congress pays for it. So you and I have been paying out $15 million for senators and congressmen to molest staffers in the last 20 years. The biggest year was 2007. The slush fund paid $4.5 million out. So then you get to the issue of what's with the Senate Ethics Committee. Well, it turns out the Senate has only kicked out one senator ever, and it was a Democrat in 1862 during the Civil War. And, of course, the Democrats wanted slavery. So I don't know the circumstances of it, but that's the only one. Now, you're going to love this. The Senate Ethics Committee, if you request, let's say you're Al Franken and you say, I want the Senate Ethics Committee to investigate my grabbing this Playboy model's breasts while she slept. Let's say he says that, which he did say that. So, what's the Senate Ethics Committee? Well, the Senate Ethics Committee has never done anything. That's the same as saying we're putting it into the circular file and we're forgetting about it. So, and Al Franken knows that. And the thing is the Ethics Committee can only look at stuff that somebody has done while they were a senator. So Judge Roy Moore committed these molestations, and if he's elected to the Senate Ethics Committee is not going to be able to look into it because it was 38 years ago. If they look into Al Franken, they're not going to be able to look into it either because it was 2006 before he was in the Senate. So, but the good news. You want the good news, Patrick? Are you ready for some good news?
Go ahead, please.
All the Democrats are now turning on Bill Clinton and saying he shouldn't have been allowed to get away with all of his rapes and his interns and everything else, and he should have been forced to resign. Well, this is news. This has not happened before. And the Clintons have been in power of the Democratic Party for 25 years since Bill was elected president. So they've had control of the National Democratic Party for 25 years. Now, all the newspapers, the fake media, CNN, MSNBC, they're all saying that Clinton shouldn't be allowed to get away with it, that the women should have been believed, you know, because Hillary had a squad that was going to go get rid of all these women. She called it, what'd she call it, the bimbo eruption?
Well, I don't remember reading about that.
Well, there's a guy, what's his name, George Stephanopoulos?
Oh, yeah, him.
He was the head of the squad that was investigating how to get rid of these women and their sordid histories and how they were liars and, you know, and James Cargill, who's a famous Democrat, said if you drag $100 through a trailer park, this is what you get. So all of this is turned around overnight. At the same time that all this news about Uranium One and all these pressure in Congress and the Senate this last week to start a special counsel to investigate Hillary's pay for play. Wow. You know, nothing simple. At the same time, Hillary and Senator John McCain have been walking around with exactly the same quote unquote orthopedic boot. And I've discussed this with many people, including Nancy Leader. She won't ask the Zetas, but she's come to the same conclusion I have, which is that Hillary Clinton has been convicted by a military court, and all of her money's been seized, and she's wearing an ankle bracelet, a GPS ankle bracelet, because she's not allowed to go anywhere she wants to go. She can only go where they let her go. And John McCain has got the same boot. Most people know that Hillary had a foundation
and the Russians donated $145 million to it in return for getting the rights to 20% of the United States uranium. But they don't realize that John McCain has his own foundation called the McCain Leadership Foundation, and he's been getting huge gifts of millions of dollars from George Soros and from the Saudi government and even from the Israeli government. And he very conceivably has been found guilty in a military court of the same thing, pay for play. So he's wearing the same orthopedic, I put that in quotes, orthopedic boot. Now, for John McCain, they said, well, he had an Achilles tendon problem, and that's why he's wearing this special boot. But the thing is that boot has nothing to do with Achilles tendon problems. None whatsoever. And I've known people with problems, and they limp around, but I've never seen them wear a special boot. And Hillary supposedly fell backwards down a flight of stairs at a restaurant in London and broke her toe. And if you break your toe, you don't wear a special boot either. Now, if you break the long bones behind the toe that go towards the ankle, those could require a cast. But in neither case, McCain or Hillary Clinton, is what they have necessary to wear an orthopedic boot. So that's why everyone is saying they've been, they're wearing GPS bracelets because they've been convicted of something. Of course, the trial was confidential. The results of it were confidential. So who knows? But, as they say, the worm has turned. So finally, people are saying, enough with Hillary Clinton. Go away and don't come back. And it looks like that's going to, at the very least, that's what's about to happen. And they're also accusing her of covering up her husband's rapes and molestations. And so they're blaming her for that. And, of course, she's just full of excuses. This is all Trump. It's all been resolved. It's all been negotiated and settled a long time ago. There was nothing to it. And it's just the Trump administration trying to do her in. And somebody should put a stop to that and impeach Donald Trump so she can become president.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. So you see, nothing is really simple about this whole subject. So, remains to be seen what's going to happen with the coming weeks, but a lot is happening politically, and if you turn on the news, that's what you get, is who molested who, what does the victim say, what is the perpetrator making up an excuse, and of course, see, when they say, well, I suggest the Senate Ethics Committee investigate me, they already know they can't do anything with it that you did before you were senator. So Al Franken can request that all he wants, and it sounds really good. Oh, yeah, he wants the Senate to investigate him. But the thing is that it happened before he became senator. So unless they find something current, it's not going to apply. Now, last night, the power went off in the kitchen. So we're like, okay, what the hell? It was raining, it was foggy, and then, of course, today it's freezing. But we tried to throw the ground fault interrupter because we live on extension cords that go 125 feet outside to a temporary service panel with a 60-amp electric panel.
I was wondering how the power went off just in the kitchen.
Yeah, so we go out and look at it, and we try and reset the GFI, and it won't reset. And then we look at the panel, and there's brown everywhere. And underneath the bottom of the panel cover is mouse crap and mouse nest and all this stuff. And we go, oh. So then we try and unscrew the screw to take the cover off the panel, and it won't turn. It's rusty. So we come back to the house. We get the WD-40. We get a socket wrench because it's a slotted hex head screw. So we put the socket wrench on it, spray it with WD-40. We got the panel open. Gigantic mouse nest taking up the whole inside of the panel.
Oh, no.
And, of course, it was raining and humid last night. And the question was, did a mouse bite through the insulation and then get electrocuted? But there were no dead mice in there. There was just an old mouse nest that was dripping brown goo down onto the wires, and it was wrapped all around the connections to the breaker for the kitchen. So we turned the power off. We took a pointed stick, dug the mouse nest out. We had rubber boots on, vinyl gloves, and we had a rubber mat because the electrician that put the panel in was short. So, and I'm tall, and the covers lift up and stay straight out. And so when I'm standing, I can't look at the panel, so I had to kneel, and I didn't want to kneel on the bare ground in case I made some electrical contact. So we turned the breaker off, put the rubber pad down, put on the rubber boots, the rubber gloves, went back with a dry wooden stick, and Janet and I took turns of picking mouse nest and droppings out of the electric panel. Then when we got it about as clean as we could, I mean, really what you needed was a pressure washer to really blast it out. But, of course, it's an electrical panel, and that wouldn't be a good idea. So, finally, we put the cover back on, just covered with brown goo inside and outside. Really disgusting. And we put the cover back on, threw the main breaker back on, then turned the kitchen breaker on and off, then reset the GFI socket breaker, and bingo, the power came back on. So
the whole
thing pisses me off, because when I told the electrician back in the year 2000, and ours was the last panel he installed, because after that he died of a heart attack like a couple weeks later. So he was sort of semi-retired. I thought, well, of course he's going to put in a 100 or 200 amp panel. But he only put in a 60 amp panel. So we've been living in this house with four extension cords going from the temporary service up to the house. And I've had to balance the load for the living room side of the house, the living and bedroom, and then the kitchen side. And so I've done a pretty good job, and we've lived 17 years on extension cords. And the electric company came up here, and they go, what? You're still living off of the temporary service? You're only allowed to have that for a year. Well, yes, but it's on a post that's starting to rot after 17 years. It wasn't, you know, pressure treated or protected in any way. And it's just out in the weather. But we're on top of the mountain, so if anything gets wet, the next day it dries out because of the wind. So now I'm thinking that we have to call up an electrician tomorrow morning and ask him how much he would charge to put in a 100-amp panel. In other words, disconnect the meter, change the panel, reconnect the four outlets to the panel, and call it good. And so, if anyone would like to make a donation to Janet and me to have a better electrical system, please do. I didn't worry about it so much because I thought pole shift was going to happen in 2010, then 2011, 2012, et cetera, et cetera. Here we are, the end of 2017, no pole shift. The wood is rotting. I thought, well, you know, the grid is going to go down, so it won't really matter. But if we're 3 years away from pole shift, it does matter. And I looked at that box and I said, how can a mouse get in there? I mean, it was just ridiculous. The biggest opening was a 16th of an inch high and about 3/16 wide. And how could a mouse get in there? But there was a whole nest. And they'd been obviously in there for a year or two. So
if the head gets in, the body will follow. And, you know, your situation there gives new meaning to the word pole shift.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
too bad they can't just put it on a piece of, like, marble or something. Why has it got to be attached to a pole?
Yeah, why don't I put in a huge granite pillar?
Yeah.
Well, I've only got 6 inches of dirt on top of granite ledge, so if I dig a hole 6 inches deep, the pillar will fall over. I need to drill and blast and put, like, at least 3 feet of the pillar down in the ground.
Well, how deep is the pole?
12 feet.
Somebody did some drilling with that.
No, I made a pyramid. It sits on the surface. I put a center post, and then I made four beams that each go to a different corner, the four corners, and then go down to a box that I made below that. But now the box is rotting. The beams aren't that are holding the post up aren't rotting, and the post isn't rotted. But the base of the pyramid is. So if I were going to continue living like this, because we were going to build a house right there, that's why the service is there. But we never had the money for it. And now if we had the money to build the house, the taxes would increase so much that we'd be in trouble from that. And then let's discuss wheel bearings. So 2 weeks ago, Janet and I had the left rear wheel bearing replaced, but there was still a horrendous noise. So we took it to the garage in Ellsworth, and the guy took it for a test drive, and he said, yes, your left front wheel bearing is gone. So it was $304 to replace the left rear, but it was $387 to replace the left front, because that was not a bolt-on bearing, it was a pressed-in bearing.
Are these roller bearings, or are they plain bearings?
Yeah. Well, he gave me the rear wheel one, which was bolted on, and I can't, even with my finger, I can just barely turn the inner bearing that goes on the axle. I can barely turn it. So, you know. So anyway, it was great. Tuesday we spent $387. So that's a total of almost $700 on wheel bearings in a week and a half. And it's quiet. All you can hear is the tires on the road. You don't have any screaming of the bearing, self-destructing. So we go, that was on Tuesday. Wednesday we go to Ellsworth. And, as we got closer to Ellsworth, there started to be a noise from the left front. Well, then we drove down to Tremont, which is towards Mount Desert Island, because Janet had an eye doctor appointment. So we drove down there, and it started sounding like we were dragging an oak branch under the left wheel. And the wheel kept coming to a stop while we're driving and jerking the steering wheel because...
Oh, no!
Once the left front wheel comes to a stop, the whole car wants to continue in a circle to the left into the oncoming traffic.
Right.
So Janet's a big, strong girl, so she kept that from happening. We turn around. We go back to the place. The guy takes it for a test drive, and he goes, ah, we put in a defective wheel bearing. He goes, some of these parts are defective right from the factory, and you don't know until you put them in, and that's clearly what happened. And so then we had to sit for another 2.5 hours while they changed the bearing again, but of course that was free, because shouldn't the guarantee last at least 24 hours?
You'd think.
Yeah. So we got 85 miles on that new wheel bearing before it went. But, so, if anybody would like to be a really kind person and help us out, it would really be meaningful, because I still don't have enough money to pay the property tax. And the town will take this mountaintop from me in January if I haven't paid. So any money that you could send would really be very endearing, valuable, helpful. I know a lot of you have your own problems, and, I just don't get enough money from Social Security to be of any help whatsoever. And last week... I had to buy $530 worth of firewood because we were out of firewood. So I don't have any extra money to put to these extra expenses, and we had to fix the car. So we had to take the money that we saved for the property tax to put towards the car. But that puts us, yes, we have a car, but now we might not have a house. So if anybody has any sympathy and would like to help us, please consider doing it. Is that a good reason to help me?
I think so. I put your address in the chat again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, okay, let's see. Where are we here? Oh, God. I can't even read my own handwriting. Okay, let's discuss the tax bill. Now, the Democrats are saying, oh, this tax bill is only going to benefit the rich. And it's going to screw the middle class. But, of course, 150 Democrats in the House of Representatives passed their own tax bill. And you know what their own tax bill was?
Something that benefited them.
Yeah. It was going to raise the taxes, the federal tax. Everybody's tax would go up. Of course, when they put the Republican plan down, they don't mention that their own plan was going to triple the current tax rates. So what their plan is to increase the taxes to the tune of $10 trillion. At the same time that they're going to increase the budget by $11 trillion.
Well, so, that's going to really make a big tax bill on everybody in the country.
Yes, and that's so they can continue hiring bureaucrats, and Democrats will have, everyone will have free college, free this, free that. Whereas Trump's plan, which will cut the taxes for everybody, except for a very few, and I'll explain who those are. But the main purpose of it is to cut the corporate tax rate from 35%, which is the highest in the world, to 20%. The average tax rate, corporate tax rate in the whole world, averaging it all, every country, is 23%. So this would make the United States more attractive for corporations to move back to this country, build plants, hire workers, pay more taxes, and they would what do they call that when you bring your money back to your country? Repatriate all the billions of dollars they have in savings accounts in other countries. So the Democrats really don't like this plan, and they keep putting it down and says it's going to raise the taxes for everybody. But it doesn't. What it does is it lowers the tax rate for corporations. Now, some people think, oh, corporations are bad. We shouldn't lower their tax rate. But that's why companies have left the United States and gone to other countries, because their corporate tax rate is lower. So if we could get all these companies back, there would be more spending going on in the United States and more jobs, and things would go better. They eliminated some deductions, and one of them is that you can't deduct your taxes that you pay to the city or the state or the town for your property, real estate taxes. You can't deduct them. But actually, you can deduct up to $10,000 worth. But of course, if you're a multimillionaire and you've got five houses and your annual property tax bill is close to $200,000, you're only going to be able to deduct $10,000 of that. So yes, that's going to hurt the very wealthy. Well, what's wrong with that? Who's objecting?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to miss it.
Right. And the thing is that they've increased for a couple, $12,000 a person, the first $12,000 you earn, you don't have to pay taxes on. So for a couple, it's the first $24,000 that you earn, you don't owe anything on, not a penny. So that's doubling that. They increased the child deduction. They created a new deduction. If you've got your father or your grandfather living in the house, now you can take a deduction for taking care of him. So all in all, I think it's a great tax plan. The thing is, the Senate hasn't agreed on anything yet, and they may yet not agree on anything.
They may never.
The House has already passed it. If the Senate would pass a version, then it would be reconciled. They'd have meetings, and they'd come up with a tax plan between the two. Then they put it on the president's desk, and he would sign it. But the Senate doesn't seem about to do it. One thing the Senate wanted to do was to get rid of the mandatory tax penalty for not having Obamacare. Now, I don't know if you know anybody that's been paying that penalty, but I know plenty of people because they can't afford the health insurance. But yet, they earn enough money, they have to file a tax return, so they also have to put in there that they don't have health insurance and pay a fine of like $2,500 a year. So the Senate bill would eliminate that, but the rest of the bill, no senators can agree on it, and already like five or six Republicans have said that they don't like it. So all you need is one senator to give up on it, and maybe two, and then it can't be passed. So, and the question is it going to be passed or not? Trump wants it passed by Christmas. If they could work on it this coming week before they break for Thanksgiving, but who knows if they will? Because one thing is sure about Congress is they're always on vacation. They only work like a few days a year. It's really pathetic. So The question is, what's to become of that? And the answer is, nobody knows. Nobody knows at all. Okay, let me see. I can't read my own handwriting. I did write some notes, but it really didn't seem to be helping me anymore.
Block print.
Well, I printed, but God knows what that is. How much more time do we have anyway?
We have about 6 minutes.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can make heads or tails of this. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I already told about the Thanksgiving dinner. I said dinners, holiday dinners. But next Friday, which is my next show, is also Black Friday. And I imagine some of you will be going out and spending money like crazy. Supposedly these 4K TVs. Now, do you know what a 4K TV is?
Not yet.
Okay. The original TVs that we all grew up with had like 330 dots across and 525 lines.
Okay.
And as they gradually increased them, they increased them to 480 dots across, pixels. Then they increased them to 600, then they increased them to 800, then finally they you could buy TVs that were what they call 720. And people would buy 720 even when 1080 pixels was available because they go, well, the biggest broadcast is 720, so why buy a 1080 TV? Well, if you buy a 1080 TV, the 720 looks even sharper. I mean, it got to the point with 720 where you could see the threads on a baseball as it was being pitched. So that was pretty cool. But then broadcast started going up to 1080 pixels going across. But now they've got what they call the 4K TVs. The 4K TVs are 4,000 dots across. And most of your new cell phones take 4K videos. So you can get in what's called an HDMI cable and connect your cell phone to your 4K TV, and you can be looking at an image that, I swear to God, is clearer than if you look out your own window.
That's interesting.
So, and Blu-ray discs, the old DVD discs, were like 480 across, and then the Blu-ray discs are 1080. So that was a good reason to buy a 1080 widescreen TVs, because you could get a Blu-ray player, get a Blu-ray disc, and watch a movie in, you know, pretty high resolution. But they have not come out with a disc for 4K because the disc would have to be huge, and they haven't figured that out yet. So that's why they're giving up on DVD discs, and they're going to DVD recorders. So right now there's no programming in 4K. There will be at some point, and there won't be any discs to play with it. It'll have to be something where you select it online and you get it through the internet and it downloads. And you may or may not be able to record that with your digital video recorder. But anyway, these 4K TVs, like even if you just go to Walmart and you go look at a Vizio 50-inch 4K TV, it will blow your mind. Because they show it in the store with 4K programming. And I swear to God, it's like you can't even take a picture that clear. And when you look out your own window, this looks clearer, sharper. It's spectacular. Well, anyway, some of these 4K TVs are going to be for sale on Black Friday for $300.
Wow.
I remember when a 1080 TV from Sony, a 42-inch, was like $3,600.
Well, are these going to last, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're the latest step up in TVs.
Okay. Like Sanyo and Toshiba? And
all of them, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Vizio, LG, you know, you have brands that you probably should never buy a TV, RCA in Sylvania. Because they just are too cheap. But, you know, Sony, all of them. And the prices are going to be like between $300 and $600 for a 4K TV that would blow your mind. You know,
it's a new world.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely is like a new world. And I've seen a lot of people just give up cable TV altogether.
They don't have DVD players. They don't have Blu-ray players. And they're just hooked up to the internet. And now you can hook up to the internet with Netflix, with Amazon, with Hulu, with Roku or whatever it's called. So there's all these services. And then you can pretty much pay for play. You know, whatever you want to see, it's available for you to watch right then. You don't have to make sure you sit down every Sunday night at 8 o'clock to watch the Ed Sullivan Show. You know, like the old days. Remember that?
Oh yes.
It's going to be a really good shoe tonight.
Yeah, I saw the Beatles first time they were on Ed Sullivan. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. You know, all of them. I mean, all the stars were on there. But anyway, thank you very much, all of you. And if I get my wife to read my handwriting and I find I missed something, I'll mention it next week. But
okay, Gordon, take care.
Freaks. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records?